Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
And we have indeed called Paul, or I guess Paul has called us. Paul Immig, green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, what's up?
Hi, Kevin. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. They gave me the extra strength coffee. They know it's February sweeps. Dude's running.
Ooh, sweeps. Sure. It's big.
Sweeps is a verb. Paul, what? It, you know, for the Packers, they just sat there and watched Patrick Mahomes, you know, go and win a championship over this Niners team that had a chance on that last drive. And, you know, they were there. I mean, if the Niners had driven down on that last drive of the game, they score, they win the Super Bowl. And was it good or was it bad for the Packers to not Packers fans to see that not happen? Is it vindication or is it feel like you set the Packers farther back that they lost to the team that then lost to the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think that's always, you know, a popular topic and one that's tough to digest because I just think football is so matchup-centric that the way that the Packers would play the Chiefs is totally different than the 49ers would play the Chiefs, which is different than the Packers and 49ers would play each other. So I think that's always hard, you know, because, again, it's pro sports in general, but football especially, that it's matchup. I think a lot of people, though, do feel, I've found, you know, talking to people throughout the years, that fans do like to feel like the team they lost to won it all, because at least, you know, the Bucks with the Raptors last year, and I know the Raptors didn't exactly make fans of Milwaukee fans last year as that series went on, but it's like, okay, well, that means that the Bucks could have won that championship because they would have beat the Warriors or blah, blah, blah. So I think it's, when you look at the 49ers and the Packers matchup, I think it was pretty clear to me, Kevin, that if the 49ers and Packers had played each other, you know, in that NFC Championship game in a best of 10 type of series, you know, I think San Francisco would have won 8 or 9 out of 10. I think there was I know Rodgers talked about maybe a lack of a talent gap or a talent gap seeming not as big as what it might have felt like, but I think there was a pretty significant talent gap there. So I don't know if it's vindication or makes you feel worse about the Packers season, but if anything, it was further data and data points to say how far behind is Green Bay talent-wise, scheme-wise, how much work is there still to do. And I think when you saw what I thought really was, not every Super Bowl is like the best two teams in the NFL. I mean, I know it's supposed to be, but I could argue that that's not always the case. This year, I think, was the two best teams in the Super Bowl. And I think there was I know that the Packers beat Kansas City on the road without Patrick Mahomes, and so, you know, anything could happen. But I think those are the two best teams, and I think the talent gap between those two and the Packers is relatively substantial.
And the talent gap as an aggregate is one thing, but the talent gap by position is the thing that I think worries a lot of people, and linebacker is the one. I mean, Blake Martinez, yeah, that tackle total, and, you know, we learned early and we were reminded throughout the year not to be fooled by the stat of total tackles. It's clear that's where the Packers have that need on defense. They were so aggressive last year in free agency, helping the outside, signing the Smith brothers. Do you see a similar kind of move on the inside this year?
Well, maybe on the inside, but probably not in totality, because Brian Gutekunst, I think, to the dismay of Packers fans, had stated earlier in this offseason already that in his postseason press conference, that the Packers don't have the ability, cap-wise, to be quite as aggressive in free agency this year as they were last. Now, last year, even if you were to forget the Ted Thompson scale, you know, where any move seemed like a big move because it was just so rare, even if you exclude that, the amount of money that the Packers gave to Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, and even Billy Turner, that was pretty sizable even by NFL standards, not just by Packers standards. So I don't know if you can go and fix, you know, both outside linebacker positions and safety and starting guard. But I think the thing for the Packers is inside linebacker can be fixed with the right move if it's in free agency. I was talking with Bill about this the other day, and if you go and draft, even your first-round pick with an inside linebacker, You know, and that guy usually is the one calling the plays, you know, on the field, in the huddle, and everything else. It's a lot of responsibility for a rookie. And we talked a little bit even about, like, Roquan Smith in Chicago, who I believe was, like, the 9th overall pick, and even acclimation process there when you're at that point. So can they fix everything? Can they fix wide receiver and tight end and inside linebacker and possibly right tackle, depending on what they choose to do with Brian Bulaga? Can they fix all of that in free agency and spend the amount of money that they did last year in free agency? Probably not. You know, they'd have to move a lot of money around to do that. But if you were to target one of those, you know, and you were to say, Brian Gutekunst says, I'm going to fix wide receiver in free agency, or I'm going to fix inside linebacker in free agency and then use the draft to supplement the other areas of need, I think you can fairly expect one of those positions to be fixed in free agency, just not, you know, probably all three or four of those need spots.
It's about that free agency and draft mix that you mentioned. And I go back to something that the Packers did in the draft a few years ago, where they clumped up that group of wide receivers with the idea of bringing this new batch of talent in for Rodgers. It's February of 2020. Is it time that we refer to that experiment as a failure?
Yes. if you had to make a call on it today, yes, it failed. And I did actually mention this too. It's like, you know, if the Packers go into 2020 with players who are currently on their roster as the two or three wide receiver on their depth chart at wide receiver, you know, Brian Gutekunst has not adequately done his job. Jamon Moore, I mean, obviously a huge bust in the 4th round. MVS, promising rookie season, got thrown into the spotlight, failed under the pressure of being that. I think the caveat, the person that makes it tough to say failure or not, is we just didn't get to see year two of Equanimee St. Brown. But let's keep in mind, 6th round pick. He was the 3rd of the 3. So it's good to be optimistic, and it's fine to think, you know, he could still be the guy from that draft class to be the man. And hey, MVS could turn things around. I think he has so far to go, though, from a route running perspective, that it's tough to expect this raw athlete to become, you know, a number 2 caliber wide receiver in his NFL career. So, I think it is a failed experiment to this point, and it's why if you go into the draft and let's say they hit on inside linebacker in round 1 and they hit on tight end in round 2 and defensive line in round 3, that's all fine because those are all need spots. But to expect 4th round, 5th round, 6th round wide receivers, as we found out 2 years ago, to step in and be, you know, number 2 caliber wide receivers on a Super Bowl type team, it's, you know, it can happen. It can happen, but it's certainly less likely. So again, the free agency part of it will inform the draft part of it. But yeah, that 4th, 5th, 6th round combo from a couple years ago, it has not worked so far. I think that's fair to say.
So, you know, every time that it's you and me here when I'm filling in for Bill, TV shows become the topic, and I failed you, Paul. I have been falling back into old habits, streaming episodes of Parks and Recreation for the 4th time instead of branching out. So I'm seeing some television. It's just the same television. So I am going to take your suggestion this time, and I'm going to actually watch it. What you got?
Okay. Now, were you a Seinfeld guy?
A little bit. I can deal with Seinfeld.
So I'm going to probably blow Joe's mind a little bit with this. I never liked Seinfeld as a show, but I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have you ever seen Curb?
Oh, yeah. Terrific.
So you're on the Curb train.
I know it. I mean, I haven't seen a ton of episodes, but what I've seen, I like.
Okay, good. So there's season 10 is right now on HBO, so I'm assuming you haven't seen all 9 seasons worth. So you know, get on that, okay, Kevin? Yeah. There's a show right before it that just started on HBO, like the back-to-back 9 o'clock hour, called Avenue 5. That's a comedy set in outer space 30 years from now that I'm enjoying 3 episodes in, so Avenue 5 would be my new suggestion.
All right.
And then because you like Parks and Rec, I'm going to give you a 3rd suggestion of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Have you heard of Brooklyn Nine-Nine with Andy Samberg?
Andy Samberg. The crazy thing about Andy Samberg is he's such a dynamic personality that without ever having seen an episode, I've seen 50 scenes of the show because little bits of him are everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's very meme-worthy. It's very, you know, easily digestible. I've seen some of those that just get used in, you know, in social media just because of, it is so, like, viral capable. But it's from the same original creator who did create Parks and Rec. So Michael Schur and his writing partner had launched Brooklyn Nine-Nine initially like 6 years ago. So if you're looking for a really kind of good, just sit down and digest fun comedy, you could pour through about, you know, 10 episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and not even blink. So I'm gonna wrap up with those recommendations because it's probably a lot for you already. So Curb, watch more of it. Avenue 5, give it a shot. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it's right up your Parks and Rec alley. So that one as well.
That'll take us to the next time we talk. Paul, always a pleasure. Yeah. Let's go get some lunch sometime.
Text me, Kevin. You got the number.
You know it. That's Paul Living joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.